I'm going to share some things this morning that may could be very quickly misunderstood, so I'm going to kind of go easy, and I don't want to be misunderstood. I want you to take your Bibles and turn first to Hebrews chapter 10, and we're going to consider just three verses of Scripture, but not all in the same passage. So, and let me just kind of qualify what we're going to say today this way. I'm working through some things myself personally. And a problem when you stand and speak every Sunday is you got to work through things pretty quick. And so I haven't got all this work through yet, and I'm asking for grace. Probably a good thing all the ladies is at the beach. You reckon they're watching this?
If
they said they were. So all you ladies that are watching this, after you repent from your backsliding at the beach. I think Mary said they wasn't going to the beach. They was going. I think she said they was going the coast, yeah, or the Pacific Ocean or something. And so Mary had the right statement, I believe. But when we share this, I want you to try to hear my heart and test it out with the balance of your spirit, all right? So we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32, and let's read that verse, and here's what the Bible says. But call to remembrance the former days, in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions. I'm going to read that verse one more time. Listen closely to it. But call to remembrance the former days, in which after you were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions. Now turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 11. Tell me when you got there. No one's saying a thing. You're there. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 11. Listen to this. There is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come after. Consider that. Now, one last passage. Turn to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11. And holler amen when you get there. Amen. Verse number 16. Here's what verse 16 says. We'll read just a few verses. Take heed to yourselves. Now, I do want to say, make a statement about that phrase. You'll find that phrase a lot in the King James. Take heed to yourselves. It literally means be cautious. Just be very cautious in and of yourself. Take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you and he shut up the heaven that there be no rain and that the land yield not her fruit unless ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. Therefore shall you lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul and bind them for a sign upon your hand that they may be as frontlets between your eyes and ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. I want you to consider again verse 18 and 19. Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes, and ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, when you walk by the way, when you lay down and when you rise up. I shared with Don Barrett a couple of weeks ago, and I'll get this kind of out of sequence, I know, but I shared with Don Barrett a couple of weeks ago, felt impressed of the Lord. I think it was on a Wednesday evening we were here, and Don was standing right there, and I was up here, and I was walking back, and the Lord just energized me to ask her to pray. And the reason I told Don, I said, I feel as though, and the only way I could word it was I'm just in a spiritual funk. How many of you ever been there? A little bit dry. Just a little bit numb. Something just wasn't right. And so I was energized just to ask Don to pray for me about that. I was just in a spiritual funk. About 2 weeks prior to that, Joe Barrett preached a message. I hope you'll remember it. It sure challenged me. His message was, hold on. How many of y'all remember that? Hold on. He kept saying that over and over again in his message. Hold on. Hold fast. I think it was the next day after I'd shared with Dawn, please pray, Alan and I had a conversation. And we were talking, and Alan, unbeknownst to me, well, kind of, I kind of did know, but Alan said he felt the same way I did. We were sharing just what was inside of our heart, and he felt the same way I did, which is a little bit understandable. Alan has a great deal of responsibility on him, both spiritually and in the natural. A lot more so than I do. And so I kind of understood him feeling that way. And when he spoke that to me, I kind of got convicted. I thought, well, here I understand why he's feeling that way. But what excuse do I have for being in the spiritual doldrums, so to speak? In that conversation with Alan, we kind of, here's where we come to. Something's missing. Something's missing. What is it that's missing? And somehow during the course of that day, I begin to ask myself this question. What is it that I miss? If something's missing, what is it that I miss? And I started contemplating these verses. One was, remember the former days in Hebrews. Remember the former days. Time and time again through the scriptures, and we're not going to take time to give you all of the illustrations of the scriptures, where God would speak to his people and he'd say, build an altar right here so you don't forget what happened here. I want you to remember this place. Remember how significant this place is. We were reminded, I don't know how many times in the New Testament, of Old Testament characters and what happened in their life. As a matter of fact, there was a challenge, and I read to you the challenge in Deuteronomy. The things that God has done for you in your life, remember to teach your children. Did you hear that in Deuteronomy? Matter of fact, it said, when you rehearse these things to your children, make sure you do it at all times. When you wake up, while you're walking by the way, when you lay down, let it be at the forefront of what's going on in your life to share the words that should be bound in your heart, Deuteronomy says. And I started thinking about, what is it that I'm missing? Can I tell you, there's some things that we have turned loose of that I'm glad we turned loose of. I'm thankful today that we turned loose of something. One thing is, and I hope you'll hear this, spirituality based on appearance, I'm glad we've turned loose of that. I'm thrilled that we've turned loose of that. For a long time, people judged spirituality based on what things looked like, based on what you looked like. I've said this before. a thousand times, and I'm coming to grips with this because at 60 years old, I'm starting to come full circle in a lot of ways. I really am. I'm starting to come full circle. I was raised independent, fundamental, premillennial, King James only, Baptist. I was saved in that setting. I surrendered to preach in that setting. I pastored in that setting. And I'm thankful to God in heaven that in many ways I'm free from that setting. At the same time, I am thankful for that heritage. At the same time, I appreciate that heritage. And I feel like that, and watch, in that setting, spirituality was judged a whole lot based on what you looked like. Thank God we're free of that. In that setting, I would no longer be allowed or welcome to even speak or even take up the offering in that setting because of the way I'm dressed or because of the fact I have hair on my face. Sounds odd. I talk to a lot of people and they think they know what independent Baptist is, but they really don't. They don't have a clue. what real, true, legalistic, fundamental Baptists, they have no idea what that's all about. They think they do, but most people don't have a clue what that's like when you're raised in that kind of a militant setting. But there is much in that heritage that I am so grateful for and I'm so thankful for. But I'm glad I'm free of that. That's something we let go of. I'll tell you something else I'm glad we let go of is judging spirituality based on the sound of things. Not just the appearance of things, but the sound of things. In the traveling that me and Mark and his brother did, during that time in my life, I'd shut the Bible and had convinced myself I'm not going to preach anymore because those days are over for me. I'm just not going to preach anymore. And can I tell you, preaching found me. I didn't go looking for it. There was a man out in Illinois, sits in a wheelchair, that started booking revivals. And we showed up at churches and they was expecting me to preach. And the odd thing is, now listen to this, and I thought about this week. We went to one church and it was all, he would book us in all kinds of different denominations. This is going to freak some of you out. I've preached in Methodist churches. They actually allowed me to do that. Presbyterian churches, charismatic churches, Baptist churches, all kinds of different Nazarene churches. I've preached in all kinds of different denominations, and when preaching found me, we'd show up. And can I tell you, one of the first revivals he booked for us out there, somewhere in Illinois or Indiana, one, it was a Methodist church. And when we got there, this was the question they asked me: what is a revival? They never heard tell of the word, much less had a revival meeting in their church. They had no idea. And I'm thinking, what era was you born into? Last night we were watching a show that was kind of centered around 9/11. And I made the comment to Haley, I said, there's a lot of people now that are post 9/11 people. The only thing they know in this world is after 9/11. They have no paradigm for what it was like prior to 9/11. I was born the same year that John F. Kennedy was assassinated. I was raised in a post-assassination world. I had no real kind of clue of what it was like prior to that. I read about the Cuban Missile Crisis. I learned how close we was to nuclear holocaust, but to experience that, I didn't have that experience, you know. And I want to tell you something. Listen to me real close to what I'm about to tell you here, because this is what's kind of working in me that, I don't know, I've got to get this worked out in my spirit. If you look at where we are right now and compare it to where we were 40 years ago, on any metric, it doesn't matter whether it's nationally, whether it's as a church, whether it's as the body of Christ, any metric you want to use for measurement, if you compare where we are right now to where things were 40 years ago, there is absolutely no way you could conclude that we're better off. We're just not better off. We can play like we are. We can act like we are. But all that is a religious cover-up. Because we're not better off than we were. And that blows my mind in some regard. And the reason is because we're exposed to more truth now than we ever were. We have more revelation now than we ever have. Thank God we have more freedom in Christ than we've ever had. But we're not spiritually better off. We now, like those that I come in contact with a few years ago, have no idea what revival is. We hear the word, we hear the term, but we really don't have any clue. From a national perspective, you can say we're not better off. Back in the 70s, and I'm not trying to ride a hobby horse of political issues. That's not what I'm trying to do here at all. But I just want to prove a point to you that back in the 70s when they were arguing over the issue of abortion, here's the way it started. One political party said, we need abortion, but it needs to be rare. It needs to be safe. It's went from rare and safe and on just certain occasions to now, in some states, you can still abort a baby at 9 months. State of Minnesota, you can abort a child at 9 months. And the argument now is over what they call partial birth abortion. And you know what happened in the state of Virginia with the governor there, who said that he even conceded that after a child was born, you could discuss whether or not you wanted to let it live or not. Now, I got to tell you something, folks. We're not better off than we were 40 years ago. You hear what I'm saying? What's wrong? What's missing? Something's missing. Are you all... Consider church for just a second, and this is and it's odd that Kelly's here, so I'm going to share the story that I always share about poor old Kelly, bless her heart. She was 2 years old, or three, maybe four, I can't remember, and we was in church, and I'll never forget this. The first year that I was pastoring down there in Statesville, I had four revivals that year, and the reason is I was on a mission to break every tradition that I could. Well, traditionally speaking, it was in the minutes. You had a fall revival and a spring revival. Y'all remember that? Had two revivals a year, spring and fall. I thought, okay, we're going to go on a mission here and bust every tradition I can. So I booked four revivals. We had one in the winter, one in the spring, one in the summer, and one in the fall. I think it was along about the fall revival, Kelly was laying at Mark's feet, and things got a little quiet, and Kelly reached up, and she said to her daddy, I'll tell you one thing, we just go to church entirely too much. I mean, that girl had it, boy. I've never let her forget it. I never will let her forget it. And when we get to heaven, I'm going to remind the Lord of what Kelly said. Yeah, that's right. When I was a kid growing up, we did things like this, and it was a part of our life. Sunday school, preaching on Sunday morning. Sunday evening, training union. Been so long since y'all have heard that word, most of you don't even have a clue what that is. All that was Sunday night Sunday school. That's all it was. So you had Sunday school on Sunday morning. You had preaching on Sunday morning. You had training union Sunday evening. You had Sunday evening church. Then you had Wednesday night prayer meeting. Then get this, on Thursday night you went soul winning and visitation. We had to be there for all of that. Then listen, if the church had a revival, you went to the church revival. And if the church down the street had a revival, you went to theirs.
Then during the summer, you went to Bible camp. Saturday night singings. Lord God in heaven, I've been to every Saturday night singing from Virginia to West Virginia to Pennsylvania. Drug in the back of an old white van, going to, and listen to this, driving all night so you can get back for Sunday school on Sunday morning. You didn't miss. I mean, you just didn't miss. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? But after 40 years in my lifetime, it's dwindled from that to Sunday morning service. Now, we did it on the guise of let's spend time with family. How's that working out for us? There's more family divorce now, there is as much in the church as there is in the world by percentage. So how's it working out? Well, see, what I'm saying is we're not better off. Now you say, do we need to go back? Well, here's one thing I'm saying. We need to at least remember. See? We need to remember. So in me asking myself, what is it that I miss? Can I tell you some things that I miss? I mean this, and maybe I'm just old and reflecting or something. I don't know, but... I've kind of jotted down some things that I miss, and then I want to talk to you just for a second, if I can remember to do this. But here's some things I miss. I miss people having more than just a shallow existence with God's Word. I miss that. I miss the fact, listen, I miss the fact that in the house of God, the Word of God was so reverenced, so studied, that back in the days when I was growing up, Sunday school teachers knew more than what pastors know today. I thought about this. Listen, at the age of 9, I had a Sunday school class teacher. His name was Harold Greer. That man, y'all are not going to believe this. Some of you ain't going to understand it, but I'm going to say it anyway to prove a point. By the age of 9, I could take God's Word and I could show you the dispensational interpretation of the Word of God because I was taught that in Sunday school at the age of 9. Now people don't even know what the dispensational theory is. Hello? They never heard tell of it. Listen. By the age of 12, I could show you why the pre-tribulation rapture was a biblical fact. Now you talk about pre-tribulation rapture and people don't even know what tribulation is, much less what a pre-tribulation rapture is. See, I miss that. And can I tell you something? Listen, we can say all we want to, but until we recapture some of those things, we're going to continuously fall down the progressive slide toward mediocrity and lukewarmness. I talk about these things and people think I'm just talking. But listen, I miss it so bad. Let me tell you something else I miss here. I miss going to church more and wanting more church while I'm there. Hello? Dear God in heaven, what has happened to a group of people that can't congregate in the house of God because we're too busy in our life? If you're too busy to go to church, then you need to quit something else and come to church. Just hello there, right there. Can we park there for a minute? Basically, what I'm saying is I miss faithfulness. I miss faithfulness. Let me tell you something else I miss. I miss old-time prayer meetings. I miss that. Back in the days at Shiloh, when we was pastoring, Ken and Lisa lived down in, where was y'all lived? What's the name? Who? Rowan County. They lived down in Rowan County. And can I tell you, we'd have prayer meetings at their house. It would last till like 1:30 and 2 o'clock on Sunday morning. And then get up and come to church. I miss that. I miss coming to church on Sunday night and seeing a group of ladies and men that was anointing the pews with oil an hour before the service. I miss that. I miss calling on people to pray and they'd pray heaven down. I miss people coming to the altar and wetting the altar with their tears and praying to God and crying out to God on behalf of their families and their friends. I miss that. Let me tell you something else I miss. I miss preaching. When did we start sharing instead of preaching? I think the Bible says God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that are lost. Are y'all out? I didn't think I'd get amens. I'm just telling you where I'm at. And I told you this can be easily misunderstood, so I'm not asking you to try to hear my heart here. I'm saying to you that I miss those days when we had a burden for the lost and we wanted to bring people to Christ. I miss the days of old-fashioned praising God. I miss that. Dear God, can I tell you what I was thinking about the other day? Joe, you'll get a kick out of this. I'm fixing to name a name you hadn't heard in years, and because Joe ain't got no mind left, I don't even know if he's going to remember it. But Emmanuel Baptist Church, Joe, in Abingdon, and where you're sitting is about where she used to sit. There was a little lady named Furby Johnson. There's Barry Bailey. Everybody say, hey, Barry Bailey. I was talking about Furby Johnson, and Barry Bailey walked in. I don't know if there's something to that or not. But this might be your cue here, Barry. Furby Johnson had come in the church, and at Emmanuel, there's three sections of pews, and she would come down this aisle, and you'd have to help her in. She was, I don't know how old Furby was. At that time, I mean, I was 16, 17 years old. She looked like she was 150, but she wasn't that old. But they'd have to help her in, and they'd walk with her in, walk her in, and it'd take her 30 minutes, wouldn't it, to get across. Do you remember her? And they'd walk her in, and she'd try to hold on to the pew, and she'd get all the way against the wall over where Joe's sitting, and she'd sit down. Church would start, and the choir'd be singing, or somebody'd be testifying, and you could just hear her. She'd start real slow. She'd go, whoo, you could just barely hear her. Whoo, you could look at her, and she'd be rocking. Whoo, and she'd take out that white hanky, and it wasn't long before she was going, whoo. Wouldn't she? And she'd get up and she'd come out the aisle without any help. And she'd walk all over the inside of the church praising God and thanking God for letting her come to the house of God and talk about how she loved the Lord. Listen to me. Let me tell you, I miss that. I miss that. I miss that old time praising God and the old time preaching of the word, and I miss the old time praying. I miss the old time way of praising God. And the scripture says, remember those days. Remember them. Don't mock them. Don't laugh about it. Don't call it old fashioned. Matter of fact, not only don't do that, but according to the text, teach those ways to your children. Teach them when you get up. Teach them as you go on the way. Teach them when you lay down. That's what Deuteronomy's talking about. Remember those things that God did and instill that. Hand it down to your children. Now, I told you, we're not better off nationally. We're not better off as a church. We're not better off in this time that we're living in. It's plain to see all of the... What happened? What happened? And this is where I get into when I asked Dawn to pray for me. And I said, pray for me. I just feel like I'm just in a spiritual funk. And I started remembering Joe Barrett preaching, hold on, hold on. I had that conversation with Alan, and so I started praying. And I said, God, what is it that I'm supposed to hold on to? Just what happened? How did we get here? How did we get here? I'm going to tell you how we got here. It's what I feel like the Holy Spirit told me. Y'all ready for this? Please don't get mad at me. Please don't get mad at me. It's when we started improving things. I'm honest with you. I really believe that's what the Holy Spirit said to me. Now, again, I can be misunderstood. And after I get done, Joe Barrett will clean every bit of this up. I trust him. He's a, huh? Yeah. Absolutely. Me too. But can I tell you something? I'm just going to say it. There's Alan Caldwell and Rebecca. Lord God, we're going to have ain't going to be long till we're going to have a full house if everybody keeps coming. All them ladies at the beach is going to leave the beach to come home. Listen real quickly. I'm about done here, but listen real quickly. When we started trying to improve on the things of God, we lost the things of God. What was handed down to us, we've not been holding on to. That's what I started hearing, and I knew Dawn prayed for me. I know you prayed for me. And when she did, I kept remembering what Joe said. Hold on, hold on. And I started thinking, what was it that was handed down to me? That's what I've got to get back. I've got to recapture that. And then I've got to try to hand it down to you. But if we're not handing down what God gave us, then all we're doing is trying to improve on God. You can't improve on perfection. Can I tell you what was handed down to me? A Bible. You'll not improve on the Word of God. Somebody hear what I'm saying. And when you try to improve on the Word of God, it'll put you into a spiritual funk. It's not the Word of God plus psychology. It's the Word of God, period. I'm telling you the truth. What is it that was handed down to me? Let me tell you what was handed down to me. A cow field where I got to hear Papa pray. Now that sounds odd, I know. You talk about maybe it's when you get old, I don't know. But watch this. When my granddaddy taught me how to pray, it changed my life. He took me up in that cow field, and there was a log. And he listened the whole way. It was an 8-acre field to his house. And we walked through that field, and I knew we was going up there to pray. That's what the mission was. And he didn't even talk to me on the way up there. No, he was getting ready to pray. And he got to that old log where he would sit. And it was a war place. There in that log, and there was a war place right beside it. And it was so obvious that I pointed it out because he sat down in his spot. And I pointed it out, and I said, Papa, is that where Mama sits? And he said, no, she's got her own prayer place. He said, that's where our precious Lord sits. And I sat on the other side of him, and he started. And he'd take a big deep breath and he started holding his stomach. Whew, he breathed. Father. And he started praying. And then he wouldn't pray. And then he'd just groan. And then he'd pat me on the shoulder. I thought he was telling me to pray and I wasn't about to. I didn't want to interrupt nothing. And we prayed and we prayed and we prayed and he prayed and he prayed and he prayed. A couple hours, we walked back down the house. We stopped about halfway, put his hand on my shoulder. He said, now, son, he said, I want to tell you something. So when you're praying, don't monopolize the conversation. Every once in a while, shut up and let God speak. Me and Haley was talking, coming up here. There's a difference between praying and hearing from God. I miss that. That was handed down to me. I have to hold on to that. People's not holding on to what was handed down to them. We're trying to improve on it. Now we got prayer apps. I'm not against that. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that we have tried to improve on the way you communicate with God, and you can't improve on how the Word of God teaches you how to pray. If you do, you'll lose it. What was handed down to me? Them old time praise services that we'd have, where people, I mean to tell you, they'd stand up and they'd pop up and they'd say, I just can't wait anymore. It's just boiling up inside of me. I got to tell you how good the Lord's been to me. And they'd do the preaching. Oh, I miss that. I miss people having more faith in God than they did anything else. I miss that. And can I tell you something? That's what we're supposed to be teaching to our kids. But we're raising a generation now that's filling up churches where you get the response that I got out there. What's a revival? I'm thinking of a dear lady that had been in church for over 50 years that became a great friend of ours and a supporter of our work. She'd been in church over 50 years and had no idea what a revival was. And we tried to explain, well, you just come to church and you enjoy the Lord and you get renewed and you get refreshed. Can I tell you, that woman would drive 100 miles, wouldn't she? Judy Traynor. Every time we'd go out there somewhere, she was sitting there. You know why? Because she wanted something that was missing. We sing it in songs, but we don't pay it no attention. You got to get so desperate for the Lord that you realize there's something missing, and you'll go to any length to get it. Do you hear what I'm saying? Listen, do y'all know? I'm not. Please hear my heart. I'm done. I got to quit. Joe Barrett's gonna clean up everything I said. I know he will, bless his heart. I'm making a mess and he's going to have to clean it up. But watch this, listen. Did you know that we get up every Sunday morning at, 6 o'clock or something to be here at 8 o'clock? We drive from Statesville up here. And we have we was watching the thing on the news. And did y'all know COVID was 4 years ago now?
4 years ago, we were
just at church. Think about that. 4 years ago. We've been driving up here from Statesville for longer than that. We started before COVID. We've been driving up here. And I've even had people say, why do you drive so far to church? What do you mean? I think, would you not drive that far to get a touch from the Lord? Would you, is it so much to ask for the Lord to invite you to his house where he's at? Oh, I can't drive that far. Moses crossed the desert. They fought battles just to be where the Lord said to go. You know why I come here? Because I enjoy what we've left behind. But I so want to recapture what we left behind. Did you hear me? I want to be where the Lord is. Now, there's a group of people here that have that potential. I know we're small. That don't matter. Hey, Jesus hung out with 12. Preached to multitudes, but he pastored 12. Small group of people here. But there's potential for God to sit down with us. If you have a hunger and you say, there's something missing, and I know it's in him, so I'm going to throw myself totally in his direction, and I'm going to recapture those former things. And then I'm going to remind everybody of what those former things are, so that another generation's not lost. Listen, if we lose another generation, we won't just have church on Sunday morning anymore. We'll go to once a month. If time lasts. Then before long, you won't go to church at all. Oh, you can do it just as easy at home on a computer. That's what they're conditioning for us now. That's what they've been trying to condition us for. Jesus didn't say have church on a computer, folks. Did you hear what I just said? The Word of God says, forsake not to assemble yourselves together. Y'all hear that? That's what God's book says. I miss people taking God's word literally. I'll get a bunch of fan mail over that one. Y'all don't know this, but they take little snib bits of what I preach here on Sunday morning and they put it out on YouTube called Shorts. I've never heard tell. I didn't know about it. And I've been called everything from a false prophet to Jim Jones. Let me say it loud enough for people to hear it. Watch this. I miss people taking God's word literally. Literally. When God said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, you know what he means? Get together. Because power is released. The presence of God is enhanced. When two or three gather in his name, he shows up. I miss the days when people loved each other. I miss the days when people forgave one another. I miss the days when we extended grace to each other. I miss the days when we prayed together, worshiped together, preached together. We need the presence of God when we're together. I miss that. I miss that. And you should too. Chase after it. And you'll run into it. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Forgive us where we've said anything that you didn't want us to say. But God, I pray in Jesus' name that the things that you have said by your Spirit to our hearts will be taken and applied. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.